Okay, good morning everybody. Good morning. It's nice to see you all. I can see you all. I'm continuing the series that we've been doing for the last few weeks called Simplified Living, trying to get rid of some of the clutter in our lives and find a simpler way of being. We started with Matt a few weeks ago talking about God's replenishment plan, that God doesn't want us empty and exhausted or isolated. He does want us to be healthy and feeling good. He wants us to look after ourselves, and he's wanting to look after us. That was a great talk. Gary then looked at forgiveness and the fact that we all get hurt and offended in life. There's nobody here who hasn't. We'll all probably be offended or hurt in some manner in the next year or two, even if we're not offended very easily. And actually, we need to be forgiven. We need to be forgiven. We also need to release forgiveness on other people, not particularly for other people's benefit, but actually for ours. And Gary helped us through that one very well. And then Dom last week looked at how we can be more fulfilled, how we can be more fruitful in our lives, not just the work we do in terms of our paid work, but in terms of the work we do for God. And again, there was great things in that with Elaine helping him and Elaine telling us how she manages to cope with a very high-pressure job, big budgets, and still remain smiling most of the time, which is always helpful to look at, isn't it? So today, I'm looking at conquering fear. And I just want to say thank you to Paul and to Gareth for laying a really nice foundation for me to stand on. I almost felt like partway through, well, I don't really need to say anything because actually so many things have been sung or spoken already, and isn't that good when God deals with that? Fear again, like forgiveness, in a different manner, is something we all face. There is nobody here who hasn't felt fearful and won't feel fearful in the future. It's guaranteed. And I don't have to be a prophet to tell you that. But actually, how we deal with it often decides whether we live in fear or whether we deal with the fear and live in peace. And so I'm going to try and help us navigate a little bit and see if we can give some pointers for how we might live more peaceful than fearful. I have to say that there are some fears in life that we can deal with instantly. And actually, I was sitting there remembering a word that Christine Noble spoke a long, 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 long time ago. And she talked about fear and she wanted to give us all a pin. And she said, when that fear comes up, pop it with a pin. It's that simple. Except that we all know that there are some fears that get hold of us and they're not poppable with a pin, it would seem. And so as I talk, I want you to know that I might talk very simply about dealing with fear, but I am well aware that some fears do take a time to come under the Lordship of Christ. And actually, even when you have got them under the Lordship of Christ, they still rear their heads. They still jump out the cupboard. They still attack us. And so this is something that we don't learn, deal with, get on with life. We learn, we deal with, we keep on deal with, and we keep on facing, and we keep on moving forward. So if you just have that little caveat in the back of your head so that if I do talk simply and you think she doesn't understand me, can I just say, well, I might not understand your particular fear, but I do understand it's not always as simple as I might say it. So before we actually talk about fear, I wanted to talk about philosophy. I know it's a big word, a big thing, but actually this has helped me hugely in dealing not just with fear, but with all sorts of other things in life. And what I'm going to say here, I attribute to Andy Elms because I have just nicked it from him because he says it so beautifully and he was the one that helped me with it. He always says that we are all philosophers. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about that, whether you've given it consideration. That doesn't mean to say you've been to college, you've studied hard. We are all philosophers because we have a philosophy. And a philosophy, simply put, I think we'll put it there, is your system of beliefs and values. Philosophy is made up with two words, philo and sophia. Philo means to love, sophia means wisdom. So philosophy is the love of wisdom. And as we grow up, we develop a philosophy of how to survive, cope, and succeed in the environment we're in. If we didn't know God, our philosophy doesn't include God's ways, love or wisdom. But even when we did know God, it's very possible, in fact it's almost inevitable, that we pick up philosophies from the world around us. And those philosophies includes fear. Then when we become a Christian, we begin the process of adopting a new philosophy of life. The trouble is, we're not always aware of what our philosophy was before and what the new philosophy should be like, if you like. So actually what we're doing as we become a Christian after that, we're learning to adopt a new philosophy, a new place of getting our wisdom from. And this is where fear, this is what helps me so much with fear, because fear is out of the fall. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, God had created a garden and a place for them where they were completely accepted, completely significant, and totally secure. We've learned that in Freedom in Christ, all of those who've done it. And if you haven't, come and do it next time, because it helps with a lot of this. But those are things that God set. They were absolutely done deal. There was nothing else happened until Adam and Eve ate the apple that God had said, don't touch that tree, don't eat that fruit. And the first thing that happens after that is God comes walking in the garden one evening, and what do Adam and Eve do? They hide and they cover themselves up. And this shame and fear comes in. And unfortunately, we cop it too because of their little moment. And so actually that isn't what God wants for us. And so we've got to find ourselves working our way back to that moment where we are totally accepted, secure and significant. And we said that, we know that we're never going to get to that place this side of heaven, but we're working towards it. And so as I'm talking, there are two scriptures that came to mind with all of this. I think they'll come up on the next slide, I think. Colossians 2, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. And for me, in that empty philosophies, high-sounding nonsense, are the fears. Now, they're not all high-sounding nonsense, because some of the fears we face are out of experience, aren't they? And we have been hurt, we have experienced horrible things, and so there's a fear there. But actually, the fear that's left with us is the fear of it's going to happen again, you're never secure, nobody's going to love you anymore, blah, blah, blah. There's a whole load of things that come in on the back of that fear that actually are high-sounding nonsense. They are empty philosophies, because God's philosophy is that we are loved, cared for, secure, and whatever. And the other one is, and this is one that many of you all know, but I've put it in the message because I like this one. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. And I just like that, because for me, fear that I want us to look at and begin to deal with is those things that stand against the truth of God, that actually cause our thoughts and our emotions, our impulses, to do things that God actually doesn't want us to be doing, because they're not his heart. And so we can tear them down, and God has given us the tools. So some of you may be sitting there going, I can never deal with my fear. But here God is saying, and the writer of Corinthians, Paul, was saying we can do that. Excuse me. I've already said that in the Garden of Eden, God's plan for us was peace, shalom. That's not just peace because there's nothing happening, but that's peace as in whole peace. That's the whole of us. So that's why the replenishing is important, because it's the whole of us. But we get another moment with Moses where God says to Moses, this is how I want you to bless the people. And Moses says, and blesses over the people, we've heard this before, I'm sure, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine in you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And that peace is this shalom peace. But Jesus talked about peace too. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Paul talks about peace again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Can you go, is there a lighthouse? Go back to the lighthouse, because the lighthouse was there for a reason. I don't know if you can see on here, but there's a little man standing in the doorway. And for me, there's something of this picture that has always spoken to me about God's peace. That when you are living in with God's peace, you can stand with the storms raging and be completely secure. Now, obviously, he isn't standing in God's place, but he knows that actually that door's been put just in the right place for him to know that with the wind blowing that way, the waves coming at him that way, he can stand there. But if you can imagine your storms of life, there's a place where you can stand with everything going on around you. There's a really secure place to stand. And I just love that. So a bit like Dom, you had to have that one because I like the picture. So, what next? Yeah, so the next thing we need to know is that, or take into account, is the fact that do not be afraid is one of the most used phrases in the Bible. I actually went to look yesterday, but I only got 200 or something. But I've been told there's over 300. I once thought that there could well be a do not be afraid for every day of the year. Is that right, Dave? I didn't get there this week. I didn't have quite enough time to do my research. Okay, for the tape, Chris says there are 366, actually. And so there's one for every day of the year and one for the leap year. So that's good, isn't it? But to me, that says to us, God, A, doesn't want us to be afraid, but he knows it's a difficult matter. And he keeps saying it to us, and he keeps saying to us, because we have to keep at it, and we have to keep at it. Just a couple of few other scriptures up there that just speak about not being afraid. And so many of them come with this, for I am with you. And I just want you to get hold of, as we begin to, in a minute, look at our fears, to remember that as we are talking about overcoming our fears, conquering them, that we do it with God at our side, with God behind us and in front of us, above us and below us and in us. And actually, there's nothing we fear that he hasn't already seen, feared, addressed, overcome. And I think that is a really amazing thing. The next picture, I don't know how well this will come out here, but Adrian took this photograph this week, and in the middle of the picture, there's a curve, and it's actually a pink rainbow. If you look hard, you can probably see it, not on that one, but it's a pink rainbow. And I don't know if anybody else saw it, but one evening this week, this is what she saw. And she said, when she was telling me about it, she said it was in the wrong place. The sky was wrong. The colours were wrong. But it said to me, God's there. And so you got it because I liked it. But I just thought that so often we look at the world around us or the situations we're in and we go, God can't be here, or where is God, or what is he doing? And whether we can see it or not, and whether the circumstances are right, actually take that rainbow and go, God is there. I mean, I've never seen a pink rainbow, so I was dead excited when she shared it to me. So where are we now? Let me get on to the next bit. Right, so let's just think about what is fear. Just very quickly, in a sense, we all know what fear is, but I looked at anxiety and worry as well, because many of us don't use the word, I fear this, or I'm frightened of that, because almost that sounds a bit big, and perhaps we feel a bit foolish. But we often might use the word worry or anxiety. And for the purposes of the rest of the time, whenever I talk about fear, I want you to put fear, anxiety, worry, or nerves, or whatever the word is you have for something you don't like and is causing you some alarm in your body somewhere. Is that okay? Because I just felt like that was easier. So there are two sorts of fears, being very simplistic again. There is a constructive fear, and this fear should not be fought. They should be heeded. We might use the word nerves for that. So standing up here today, I was scared because I haven't done it for a while. And the last time I did it, I didn't feel like I did it very well. And so actually I haven't done it for a while for not just that reason, I have to say, but I did say to Matt, please give me a break. And so as I came to do this, there is a churning, there is a whatever. But actually what that does, that made me prepare really well. I didn't just go, oh yeah, I know what I'm doing, read the book, got a few thoughts, I'll stand up and I'll just waffle. I did sit down and I did read and I did do that. So for those of you who've been doing exams recently, same's true for you. There's a, you don't want to fail, do you? So you go and you do your revision, you do all your past papers, you work hard. And it's those sorts of, that sort of fear that is constructive. Could be when you go out on the road, it's icy. You have a little fear of, am I going to have an accident? Are other people going to have an accident? It causes you to drive with more awareness. It causes you to adjust your driving according to whatever. And so actually, if you ignored that and you went on the road and you just drove as you normally do, the likelihood is you would have an accident. And I'm sure you can think of many, many examples in your own life of fear like that that actually pushes you to do better. But the other fear is... Bill Hybels has called destructive fear, and this is what he says about it. It's baseless, useless, and crippling. It simply nips away at our emotional well-being, cluttering and complicating our lives by erecting false barriers in our work, relationships, and even our recreational pursuits. Destructive fear keeps you from fulfilling the mission God specifically asked you to do. And he then goes on to say, it reduces the quality of our loves, it mutes our joy, robs us of satisfaction, tricks us into believing that the world is a dangerous place, causes us to view the future with dread and not excitement, and it can paralyze us. I'm sure you've had that sort of fear. But actually, there are many times, I think, when the constructive fears become destructive fears, partly but through experience, so an accident on the road that you have, then actually that makes you more concerned about driving on the road because your experience says the roads are dangerous places. And then it can become something that then stops you. I'm sure you can think of many others. But also it can be destructive fear. So Bill Hybels tells a story about a guy who's frightened of bridges and therefore couldn't drive certain places because he couldn't go over the bridge. If he was going anywhere, he had to plan his route really carefully. Can you imagine how debilitating that is to life? Particularly if God's asked you to travel and speak or travel to do a job. I mean, it would just be awful, wouldn't it? And those of you who drive the motorways regularly, can you imagine what that would be like? It just would be, you know, incredible. But so we've got to really watch these fears. And another fear that I wanted just to touch on is a fear of God, which sometimes we feel, I've been asked a few times over the last few months, what about the fear of God? What's that like? And this is what somebody wrote, and I thought this was really helpful. It says, the fear of God is delight in God's awesomeness. We note that he is all-powerful, all-knowing, and in all places. So that does make him something to fear because he does know everything. And he's there everywhere. But then to fear him is to marvel at his majestic power and glory, to contemplate his infinite might and breathtaking holiness. To fear God is to love him and take great pleasure in obeying and serving him. And I think if you've got that feeling that fear of God might be something negative and you're waiting for him to slap you, tell you off, punish you, then I just encourage you to take hold of those views and go and do a bit of research. I have actually got, although not on this bit of paper at home, a whole lot of scriptures that talk about the fear of God. And one of them says it's like the fountain of life. I wish I'd put it up here. I forgot. That might be the psalm, actually, I think, or the proverb up there. But the fountain of life, that puts it completely differently, doesn't it, to a punishment or a telling off that we might be getting. So just keep that one in mind. Now, Mandy's going to come, I hope, and tell a story. Great. Thank you, Victoria. Mandy was telling me that just a little incident where fear was around last week, and I just thought, actually, it would be good to hear it.
Hello. Could be entitled, Four Meerkats in a Car.
Just say that again for those who missed it.
Four meerkats in a car. Half term, I'm looking forward to my day out, and I'm seeing pictures of friends on holiday. But I have one day, and it's me and the girls taking Grandma for our birthday trip gift out to Betty's in York. Most of the week's been sunny, but guess what? We get up, it's raining. Martin comes back and says, be careful, the roads aren't good. I don't like driving in the rain, and I won't drive in the rain because of my sight. Amy was feeling sick at this point, so Rowan got the short straw of the one having to drive. And this is not a story about her bad driving or anything else like that. She is absolutely brilliant.
It's a lot of disclaimers this morning.
Yeah. So we all squeeze into the little red car. Yep, rain. Here we go. So we get to the motorway, and it's real rain. Lorries going past, spray everywhere. The smart motorway said, warning, spray on the road. Even the motorway knows this is not a good idea. There is that knot in my stomach of anxiety. This is not going well. The road gets worse. Amy is looking slightly green in the back of the car. Mother is slightly quieter than normal. I have both feet on the back seat brake. It's not working. The windscreen wipers are at full speed, and they're at that speed where you think they're going to fly off the window at some point in time. The air conditioning on our little car is also not working that well. The stressful, heavy breathing from the back is constantly steaming the window. So I try to remain calm and control that fear and anxiety. Rowan is at 10 to 2, knuckles white. So I try to calm and not pass my fear on to her. She's the one driving. So the little squeaky voice in the back goes, you're doing very well. Mother pipes up saying, very good, 10 to 2. Perhaps Mum's sight.
I wish we'd got a video of this, don't you?
Sorry, I'm very nervous as well. Mother's sight might not be as good today. She's not really seeing the road ahead, I don't think. My anxiety means my breathing is fast. I will be wearing a paper bag on my head in York at the rate I'm going to stop the anxiety. And there's a sign for the service station. My head is saying, turn off. Go back, we are going to crash. The smart motorway is now also worried, as it's saying 40. There is water on the road. I'm going, it's not water, there's a river on the road. Every now and then, Rowan winds the window down so she can clear the outside mirror, the side mirror, of rain so she can see to overtake the lorries. My legs are now numb, my stomach in knots, and I have tingling down my arm. My head turns off, and it says, we're all going to die. If you've ever travelled the road to York, there's a very unhelpful sign on a lorry that reads, Jesus is Lord. On the other side, it says, prepare to meet your maker. Some of you have seen it. Well, I'm at that point of being prepared to meet my maker. Fear and anxiety is totally out of control. It's there to keep... There's a natural thing about fear and anxiety, and it's there to keep us safe. And the motorway knows this. There's a sense of danger. When fear grips, everything goes black. And at that point in time, the sky was like night. Mum goes, it looks like it's 10 o'clock at night. However, I'm thinking, this is my day. When everyone shows off their holiday pictures, what will I say? Well, I got as far as the motorway and we turned back. You know, took my mother out for tea. When I went through anxiety group, I learnt that what happens when we go through anxiety is it's like an arc. And you go up, and if you stop at that point in time, you never get through. And it tells us in the Bible that yea, though we walk through the valley, we're going through. We have to go through. We have to go over the peak. I had to sit it out. I got to go, Rohan's safe, but I am going through. I am not turning round at the motorway station. I feel like doing, but I'm not. What's the worst can happen? I'm going to meet my maker. When we walk through the valleys, we walk through. And also, there was an awful bit partway through all this. I'm going, Paul Martin's at home and all four of us are in this car on our own. So I just text pray, though I think it probably said Ray because I couldn't see what I was texting. But I thought, he'll get the message. Things are not good. And I reminded myself of the words that God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it is through Christ. We have to go through. We've got to go over the peak. Peter walked on the water. He walked through his fears. He took his eyes off God. There's still waves, but he walked. He kept his eyes on Jesus. Is that okay?
Fantastic. Didn't she do well? She's got a few other things to tell you about what happened as a result of getting to there as well. But I said, let's not go there because otherwise she'll take all my time. Which is okay. Mandy's very helpfully painted a picture that you have all, I'm sure, been in that moment yourself. One way or the other, somewhere in that. And actually, I was so excited when she said it because it just says what I want us to learn is that there's a few things there we have to do. We have to acknowledge and face our fear. I think I've got these in a different order. Oh, go on to the next one. Sorry, can you do the next? Yeah, concrete. Yeah. So I'll come back to that other one. We have to acknowledge and face our fear. So Mandy faced the fact of all those things. She went to the ultimate degree to go, this is where it could end up. But then, having acknowledged it, she then was able to rein it back in and root it and fix it. She was able to seek God's help because, you know, she may not have prayed herself, but actually, as she and I have talked often, sending that text message of pray to somebody actually means you're going, God, I need your help. Even if I'm sending it to whoever, actually it is a prayer upwards as well as a prayer sideways. And we have got a choice. And I think sometimes with fear, we miss choice. I once said to somebody when they were talking about a particular fear, and I went, you have a choice, you know. She said, no, I don't. And we did sort of argue a little bit until I realised that she'd missed the point of seeing the choice. But I want to say to you, there is a choice. No matter what the fear is, there is a choice to do what Mandy did, which was to see it, acknowledge it, root it, as it were. I guess even own it, although I don't really want to own fear, but to actually go, yeah, I am frightened of this. This is concerning me. Because actually, when you go, it's concerning me, I need help. And that's where we need to seek God's help, to go, I can't do this on my own. I need your help in there. Panna, do you want to come tell your story? Very different. She's not going to compete, but she's got another story to tell. That's all right. I'll keep talking. Panna told me this in the middle of Freedom in Christ. And I just, again, was excited because it's quite a dramatic story, again, but quite different. All right? You okay there?
Yeah. This happened in September last year. We went on holiday, my husband and I, to Peru. It's a lovely place. I can't say any different. But unfortunately, David became very ill and ended up in a hospital for 3 days. One of the main reasons we went to Peru, we wanted to see Machu Picchu. And as the days went by, we thought through David being ill that we were going to miss the day trip. On the morgue, the doctors were aware that this is what we really came for, and we were concerned that it may not happen. So the doctor said to us, at 5 o'clock, I'll wait until 5 o'clock in the morning, and if I feel that David's strong enough to leave, I'll let you go. We arranged with the person that helps you with the group.
The guide.
We arranged with the guide that the taxi was going to pick us at 5 o'clock in the morning. Just before then, I got a phone call to say, we are going to a hotel. And me being me, I stood my ground and said, we are not going to the hotel. We are going to the station to meet everybody else to go to Machu Picchu. No, we're going to the hotel. Well, I didn't know what to do. David was still ill. I'm thinking, where are we going, Lord? We're supposed to be going to the station. We went through streets, very frightening. Didn't know where I was going. There was, to be honest, abattoirs on the street. I thought, Lord, where are we going? We're supposed to be going to the station. Then, because I was really genuinely frightened, I didn't know what to do. I was truly on my own with a very sick man next to me wanting to go to Machu Picchu. I just turned round, and I can still feel myself doing it, looking through the window and saying, Lord, I hand it all to you because I don't know what to do. We're supposed to be going to the station. Anyway, the way the Lord, and I stand and say this again, answered my prayers, the policeman stopped the taxi that we were in. He asked for the guy's paperwork, and he was a genuine guy. 5 minutes later, he got a phone call from somebody on the radio. You're meant to be going to the station, not the hotel. So from that moment, I could relax and know that I was going the right way. And from that day, although I've always believed the Lord is with me because I've had other circumstances in my life, that was a very strong indication that he spoke to me and answered my prayers.
I thought you'd like that story as well. Not one I hope many of us get into that place. But actually, when life's out of control and there was nothing Panic could do, turning to God was the only thing she could do. And then wasn't it amazing how quickly he answered your prayers, didn't he? So, if we go back to the submit to God. This is really, I think, one of the sort of clear words, scriptures I use when I come to fear, and I encourage other people to. Humble yourself. I'm disappearing. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. But I love it in the message because it just puts it in a dynamic. It's a Janet sort of word, if you shall understand. So let God work his will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. And I tell you sometimes I do yell. I am, you know, I'm out there. But actually those quiet yeses of, you know, Mandy, pray, Panna going, help me. Actually, it's that submitting, that giving, putting ourselves into God's care, if you like, saying, it's out of my control, I need you to come in. And I just really encourage you to take hold of that. In Freedom in Christ, it drips in here and there. But I don't know how many of us really take hold of it and go, that's what I want to, how I want to live my life. And I've lost my place because I've gone back to and fro now. The last thing is, facing fear. In a sense, both those, Panda's story was about fear that comes and you can deal with it. And there's an answer quickly. Mandy's is a fear, because when I said to Mandy, would you share that story? Her first words were, oh no, I'm not over it yet. I can't, I'm not through this yet. And I went, great, because actually, not great that she's not through it, but great that she can say, actually, this is something I'm dealing with and I'm overcoming. She might not have conquered and dealt with, but actually I'm very glad she hasn't conquered and dealt with it completely, because I want her to be safe on the roads. But actually, each time she does some of these things, that fear gets less and puts into a proper perspective, doesn't it? But if you're facing something day by day, you need a little bit more than just a shut up enemy, yes to God, or I think you do. So I've just got a few things that I would say quickly, which you need to do is, I would encourage you to get some support. Look for somebody that you trust, you respect, who will pray for you, who will encourage you, who will remind you of scriptures, who will remind you of those moments when you go, like I know Mandy will, she will have got, I'm okay to drive today, and then the next day something will happen and go, oh, I'm not sure. So she needs reminding of those things, because we've talked about some of that stuff. So to have somebody alongside you is really helpful. But then the next two things on my list are, these are really Freedom in Christ tools that he's put to us, that we encourage to renounce our fear. And renounce isn't a word we use massively now, but actually it means to reject, to leave behind, to disown. I like that, disown. So actually we can look at it, and in Mandy's case, she can look at that fear and going, actually, I am not allowing that fear to rule me. I am going to declare it null and void. I'm going to disown it as something I'm no longer going to listen to, believe is truth. And then to do the opposite of announcing the truth, of making a declaration to yourself, to the enemy, to God, you're saying out there, actually, the truth is, I'm in God's hands, and when I get on the road, he is going to help me to be as vigilant and careful as I can be. And so there's that pronouncing of truth. And then the last thing is that we need to learn to speak God's words over yourself. So you heard Mandy say in that car, she said, no, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's a word she's used against the fear many times, I know. But for others of us, there'll be other scriptures that will be really important to us that we can remind ourselves of in those moments. One of the ones for me was years and years ago, God spoke to me about do not be discouraged. And I went, oh, that's great. I shared it with the church, because we're in a season of prayer back. Take courage, take courage. A few days later, a situation happened and I felt fearful. I was intimidated by a situation. I didn't know what to do. And I woke up in the middle of the night absolutely trembling and sweating with fear. And I didn't know what to do. And I just heard this whisper in my ear of take courage. And so I went, why do I do that? Simon's like sleeping next to me. I didn't really want to get out of bed, because I like my bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I just went, I'm taking courage. I'm taking courage. I'm taking courage. And I went back to sleep like that, literally. Next thing I know, my alarm clock's waking me up in the morning. But I took what God has said to me, and I applied it to that moment. And I have to say, although I then had to deal with this intimidating situation, but actually that day, God enabled me to have courage to deal with it in a way I'd never done it before. And that situation actually was never that same intimidating situation again, ever. And I'm just glad, even now I occasionally go, right, I'm going to take some courage. And it's one of the things that does for me. So, have I got any more slides there? I can't remember what I've got. Oh, yeah. So, your prayer might be something like this that you might need to do. And I would encourage those of you who feel fearful, that you might want to use this as a sort of basis. It's quite simple. It's not my usual prayer for me. Mine are usually long. You know me again. So, Jesus is my Lord and Saviour. He is authority over every principality, power, and fear. Now, I've added that in. That's taken from Scripture in Ephesians, or Colossians, sorry. But I've added fear in, because I think fear comes under, is one of the rules and authorities over our lives, isn't it? Father God loves me and is with me. That's truth. Again, I'm speaking truth over myself. I'm praying that that is true. Holy Spirit is here to help and guide me. Truth again. I am a child of God, and God says I do not have to allow fear to control my life. I'm speaking words of truth. And then, Lord Jesus, I've allowed the fear of driving down the motorway in Mandy's case to control my life. And I renounce it. I disown it. I reject it. I'm not having it now in Jesus' name. And I announce the truth that God says I do not have to be afraid and that he is with me. And you can go on and add those in. And then Freedom in Christ suggests you then find a few scriptures that speak the truth over you, the lies. So I've got there, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, none of those scriptures, none of that prayer changes the circumstances you're in, but they change your perspective. And actually, Dave and I were talking this week about rising faith. He was wanting to know what rising faith was. And as we were talking, I was going, you know, fear, discouragement, you know, stuff rises up in front of us, doesn't it? And like the intimidation for me, it was huge in front of me. It was like I could only see intimidation. But actually, as soon as I went, Lord, what do you do? And I took courage. It was like I went from facing the intimidation there to facing it from there. And then you see how puny it is. You see that it's only there. It's not all this. And it actually changes how you view that thing. And so if you're looking at fear, then ask God for a change of perspective. And these are some of the ways you can do it, some of these scriptures. And, well, you know, you can go find your own. That's one of the things your encourager might help you with, to find some scriptures that are particularly pertinent for you. And begin to use them as your sword of saying, I'm not having these things come against me. So, just as we're beginning to finish, if we can have the lighthouse picture back up again. I just come back to this because I think that's where God wants us to be, in a place of peace, in a place of security. And so I just want us to spend a moment or two just with your eyes closed, just shut out everybody else, just you and God. Just say, have I got a fear that needs bringing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning? Is there something I have to submit to God? Is there something I've got to say no to the enemy about? And if you do, just begin to ask that. Now, it doesn't mean to say it's going to be dealt with completely today. Some of you it might be. But others, this might be the day to start working on it. To begin that journey of overcoming it. To begin to put it into a place where it's before the cross of Jesus and you've risen above it. Father, I thank you for your word that says we do not have to be afraid. For the many, many times you've said to us, do not be afraid. And I just want to pray for each and every one of us that we would be able to receive that as a word for us today, for tomorrow, for next week when fear rears its ugly head at us, when we find ourselves paralyzed or unable to do something or questioning whether we can do something, that you would remind us that your word is that we do not have to be afraid. And we do not have to be afraid because you are with us, because actually Jesus has already disarmed the principalities and powers and fears that come against us. I pray, Father, that as we bring our fears, our anxieties, our worries, our concerns to you, that they may not all have an answer like Hannah or Mandy did in that moment quickly. But I know, Father God, that you will answer us. You do not want us to be walking in fear, and that there is a way out. There is a way through these places. There is a way to come to peace, even if the storm is raging around us, that we can sit in that lighthouse absolutely safe and secure, expecting that you're going to show us how to walk through, how to walk out the other side. and how to put that fear in perspective, how to draw down your truth, your peace, your love, your wisdom. So I just pray, Holy Spirit, come and help us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.